It's The Drive on your local radio station. We are ESPN Blacksburg, and a good Thursday afternoon to all of you. My name is Paul Van Wagner. I am flying solo today, so if you want to participate in the show, the best way to do so is to text me, 866-961-1430, 866-961-1430. I would love to hear from you today.
I can't keep my hands to myself. No matter how hard I'm trying to.
Scott Nason.
I won't.
Scott.
To myself.
Scott Nason.
Absolutely. Let's go. Nason joining us today. How are you, my man?
Paul, always a pleasure to be on your show on this Thursday afternoon, and I'm ready to give my two cents on the world of sports as best as I know with you, sir.
Well, I'm sure that you will be fine, and your two cents is worth way more than that. Scott, we may have our next great rivalry in the NHL. A lot of longtime NHL fans will remember back in the day when the Detroit Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche would take the ice. There was no love lost there, right? Like, and there were, we would see fights break out. We would see goalies scrumming with each other. And it looks like the Rangers and the Washington Capitals, a little closer to home here in Blacksburg, have kind of rekindled the I hate you, your mom smells, I don't like the way your sister looked at me rivalry of the NHL, Scott. And there have been some serious skirmishes over this week.
Yeah, there sure have, including last night's game.
I should say
six fights there, including three off the opening faceoff. Of course, this was all stemmed from the incident a couple nights ago with Tom Wilson.
Yep.
From the Washington Capitals, who has been known to cause some ruckuses. Mm-hmm. Over the past. Mm-hmm. And certainly the Rangers took exception to his actions, knocking out one of their key players. And you know me, Paul, I'm a big fan of fighting in hockey.
Yep.
We don't see it as much. We don't see the rivalries, although we're starting to see it a little bit more with COVID because the teams are only playing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, the Rangers don't look like they're going to make the playoffs. Matter of fact, I think they're eliminated.
I believe so,
yeah. We're not going to see that in the playoffs, but I'm all for the old school kind of rock 'em, sock 'em robots hockey, and it was good to see. However, the NHL, I think, dropped the ball on this one. Wilson should have been suspended. If he was, I don't think he would have seen it.
Right.
Obviously, he would have been out of last night's game, but somehow the NHL always finds a way to take matters into their own hands, and the Rangers and Caps certainly did that last night.
Well, and interestingly enough, Scott, the NHL came down on the New York Rangers, in fact, fining them $250,000 and saying that their fine to Wilson was ridiculous because of his role in the quote-unquote skirmish. But, you know, when you look at this, Scott, this is one of those situations where the NHL players, although they do make good money, they don't make NBA or NFL money. So, you know, a $5,000 fine to an NHL player, that tends to hurt, especially a guy like Tom Wilson. I mean, he's not making a veteran minimum, but he's definitely not rolling in the proverbial pro sports dough.
Yeah, it's a little different when NHL players get fined that compared to the elite players of other sports, including the NBA. But again, in the NHL, you have a way to get back at a player.
Right.
I guess you do in other sports as well, but not quite like the NHL. And certainly we saw that last night. And Tom Wilson's going to do what Tom Wilson does. I mean, that's his game. We don't see a lot of players like that anymore. And certainly was a lot of fun to watch. We just don't see it as much. You know, back in the day, not too long ago, you would see it almost every other night. Now you're lucky to see it once a season. So we'll see if this sort of thing continues in the playoffs, because, again, the playoffs will be all-division playoffs the first two rounds before they start to play the other teams. And, again, these teams have been playing each other 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 times during this season. So certainly not a lot of love lost between the Caps and the Rangers this week.
Well, Scott, and I've made the argument here on the show, you know, the NHL has tried to legislate fighting out of hockey to try to make hockey a more friendly, huggy, lovey kind of a sport. But what you end up with then, and not being a Pittsburgh fan, in fact, quite the opposite, disliking Sidney Crosby, but I use this analogy. This is why a guy like Sidney Crosby can't stay on the ice, right? Because there's no one to protect him. There's no repercussions. Back in the day, if you took a shot at Wayne Gretzky, Marty McSorley beat the living hell out of you. That was how the game was legislated. And now, the way they've kind of tried to work that out, the superstars, the guys like Sidney Crosby, now players take liberties, less talented, less skilled players take liberties with him, and there's no one there to be like, oh, here's the deal, you got a butt kicking coming for that.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, back in the day, you saw about every team that had an enforcer. You mentioned Marty McSorley. You go with the Detroit Red Wings. Anytime somebody went after right. Stevie Eiserman, you had Joe Koser or Bob Probert there. And you could go down the line as far as that. Now, Crosby's one of the players that can handle himself and will drop the gloves from time to time. But, you know, I don't mind fighting at all. I don't like the cheap shots. I don't like the checks into the boards, you know, where you're threatening not just the players' well-being, but many times you're threatening their lives
right.
as far as players going in head first to the board. So I don't mind. I mean, none of the fights were last night in that Capitals-Rangers game. None of the fights, you know, they were all very mutual. Everybody mm-hmm. dropped the gloves, and that's yep. how you do it. You let them get it out of their system, you know, pay back, whatever you want to call it. I don't have a problem with it, but the NHL over the years has tried to curtail fighting. I don't see a scenario where fighting will be eliminated, but again, it's certainly gone down, and you just don't see the sort of things that we saw last night.
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, Pavel Buchnevich ended up cross-checking Anthony Mantha in the face later on in the game. The NHL did give him, let me see, he was assessed a game misconduct on the play, and I believe he is going to be suspended at least for a game for that. I thought I saw that somewhere. I was looking for it here. I can't find it now. But see, this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about, right? If there's no repercussions for what Wilson did, then players begin to escalate this, and that's where you need fighting in order to kind of curtail that, because at some point the tough guys take care of all of the other tough guys, right? And then you're just kind of left with the skill guys on the ice, and for the most part they're not out there to drop the gloves.
Not at all. It was fun to see that penalty box there. I think at one point they had six players
yes.
in the box at once. And certainly, you know, you go back to the heyday of fighting in the 70s yep. and 80s. I mean, there were players that had 300-400 minutes a
yes.
season. And
yes.
now you're lucky to find anybody that gets over 100 penalty minutes.
Right.
So the NHL, certainly the game has changed. But as far as that, you know, I have no problem with the tough guys / enforcers. You need guys that can play. No longer are you just going to have the guys out there that are just going to fight.
The goon.
That's gone out of hockey. But you certainly want guys that can throw down the gloves and protect players that, you know, that's not part of their game. The skilled players, the elite players, if you will. So I don't see fighting going away, and certainly it shouldn't, in my opinion.
Yeah. Scott, let's switch gears. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Detroit Lions. I'm curious your take. You have been very critical of our team because of kind of the way they were mismanaged. You look at what they did in the draft on Thursday. They go get Penei Sewell. You look at the offensive line now, right? You got Taylor Decker. He's 27. They got him through 2024. They just signed Frank Ragnow to a contract extension. He's 25. They got him now through 2026. Penei Sewell through 2024. He's 20 years old. And Jonah Jackson, 24 years old. They got him through 2023, Scott. The Detroit Lions seem to be doing things the right way. Tell me it's okay for me to drink the Kool-Aid again.
I think you can at least sip the Kool-Aid a little bit right now, Paul, because we're seeing a group, including general manager Brad Holmes, you know, when he came in, he's doing what he said he was going
right.
to do. He's going to build from the trenches out. And the Lions aren't going to be the best team next year and likely will have a chance possibly at a quarterback yep. in the early rounds. I know the overall quarterback class of 2022, maybe not as hyped as mm-hmm. this year's class, but I think they're doing the right thing. And again, if you have somebody that comes in with a proven track record like Holmes at the Rams, you know, he was general manager and that team made the Super Bowl. You still have a pretty decent quarterback in Jared Goff, but they're not going for glitz. They're going for right. more just what they said they were going to do. Build from the trenches out. I like it. I think they had a very good draft. Certainly not, the lights aren't going to be flashing and people are going to say, this is a fabulous pick. I think they were all good picks.
Right.
I think there are many players that could be multi-year starters. And you and I have gone over it, Paul, on my show, on your show about just over the past dozen seasons and the Lions draft, you cannot afford to have drafts, 3-4 years ago where you don't have anybody that's still playing on
right.
your team and
right.
starting. And I think the potential is with this group that they can. And going down the road, they're going to have a couple first-round draft picks, I believe, next season, possibly
yes.
the season after.
Yes.
And so I like what they're doing. I like their new head coach and his mentality, certainly maybe a little flamboyant in his opening press conference saying, we're going to kick him in the teeth and knee him in the groin or whatever he said. But you know what? That's a team that needs to be kneed in the groin because they've disappointed fans for so long. So, exactly. I don't want to be kneed in the groin, I can tell you that much. But I think they're off to a good start. Granted, this season's probably going to be a little tough, but who knows? The NFC North
yeah.
is going on in that division right now. I mean, anything's possible. So I like what they did because they said they were going to do it, and they did it. And certainly as a Lions fan, Paul, as you know, not many times Lions – say they're going to do something and they do it. All you have to do is go back to when Barry Sanders was on the team and why
right.
you don't just draft lineman after lineman for that. It's past tense now. I think you can sip the Kool-Aid. Don't take a big chug yet. We'll have to see what happens.
Scott, you mentioned what's going on in the rest of the NFC North. So let's take a moment to talk about what's happening in Green Bay. Since 1992, Scott, 1992, Green Bay Packer fans, there's an entire generation of Green Bay Packer fans that don't know what it's like to have a crappy quarterback. Brett Favre took over in 1992, never gave up the reins until he handed it off to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers seamlessly just kept Green Bay rolling. Now, Green Bay is in turmoil. Aaron Rodgers wants out. He wants the general manager fired. They're trying to throw a whole whack of cash at him. On a scale of 9 to 10, Scott Nason, how much does this make you smile?
About a 9.99 right now. I'm loving every minute of this. Certainly, Aaron Rodgers now calling apparently his general manager Jerry Krause,
yeah.
which isn't a big compliment in the general manager's world, I'm sure. I mean, I think Rodgers is going to force Green Bay's hand. I just don't see how they get out of it. Obviously, this started when they moved up to draft a quarterback,
yeah.
Mr. Love. Was it last season
yep.
or two seasons ago?
Last
I can't
year,
remember
yep.
how long ago that was. And I go back to that playoff game where they kicked the field goal. I think those two things have really lit the fire for Aaron Rodgers. He's unhappy. He's disgruntled. And I think Green Bay's going to be forced to. I mean, he's forcing their hand right now. I just don't see a scenario unless things change rather quickly. And granted, he still has some time right now, but I just don't see a scenario where he's back next season. And as a Lions fan, I'm not going to lose any sleep over that.
It's funny to me because they think that let's just throw a whole bunch of money at him and make him the highest paid quarterback and that's going to make it all better. And it's amazing to me how the Green Bay Packers management is just really failing at reading the room.
Exactly. Reading the room is a good way to put it. And, this is, in many people's mind, the model organization.
Yeah.
It's owned by the fans. I mean, you have Lambeau Field. I mean, the team is competitive almost every year. But you have a guy that's not happy right now.
Right.
And certainly they're going to have to figure out a way where he goes. I think every team other than Green Bay and Tampa should take a look at Aaron Rodgers,
mm-hmm.
because they're probably the only two teams that don't need a quarterback right now, as far as one that would bring you probably a lot of success in Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know what's going on in that organization right now, but certainly they are not reading the room very well, as you mentioned, Paul.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned Tampa Bay, because I said yesterday, you know, they drafted a quarterback in the second round this year in Kyle Trask. But what did they do? They called Tom Brady. Bruce Arians called Tom Brady and said, hey, here's what we're thinking. Are you cool with this? And Tom Brady was like, look, man, I'm 44 years old. Yeah, you got to think about the future. They didn't move up to get him, which the Packers did to get Jordan Love. Like, you think about, you mentioned the model franchise, right? And like, and on the antithesis of that, we think of Tampa Bay. It's amazing how those two seemingly have flip-flopped in the last year.
Yeah, it's funny how things work out, isn't it? And, and you said it right there, taking Trask in the second round, great move by Tampa Bay. Certainly Tom Brady, I would hesitate to say, has a few good years left, if not many.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers was not part of those same conversations there a couple drafts ago when they moved up
right,
to pick up Jordan Love. And I think that's going to, and who knows, maybe Jordan Love's going to be a great quarterback down the road. But right now he's not ready. The Packers don't have anybody else, and they're certainly looking. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers' future with the Green Bay Packers right now, questionable at best.
I'm smiling just listening to you say that. Indeed. Real quick soccer update. Scott, anything exciting going on in the world of soccer right now?
Absolutely. You have the Euro semifinals going on in the Europa League. Manchester United will move to the final. Right now, Arsenal and Villarreal, they're 0-0 with about 3 minutes left. If that score stays the same, Villarreal will take on Manchester United in the Europa League final. And the Champions League final is set, Manchester City and Chelsea. So the Premier League gets at least three, if not four, teams into the best tournament in Europe. They got all four teams in last year. And Chelsea-Man City, that's going to be an amazing match. Chelsea will not win the Premier League. Manchester City will. But Chelsea's still in the FA Cup final, where they'll take on Leicester City. So it's been a great year for the Premier League, other than the team that thought for at least 48 hours that the Super League might be a good idea. We saw what happened at Old Trafford over the weekend. Fans stormed the pitch. They blocked the hotels, and that match against Liverpool was canceled. So there's still a lot of bitterness with many fans in the Super League, and we're not done with that. I don't know if they're going to try to stop any matches, but I think they're still going to be repercussions either financially from the Premier League and other leagues in Europe with these teams for the artist formerly known as the Super League. It's dead as it should be.
With that matchup with Liverpool, is Def Leppard upset about that?
I believe so, yes. I believe Joey Tempest had some money on that game. So I think they're probably a little sad, but it'll get replayed here, I think, in a week or so. So hopefully the boys from Sheffield, I mean Liverpool, can get that match in.
Speaking of Sheffield, looks like they're going to get relegated. West Brom also going to get relegated, and Fulham. It looks like Newcastle and Burnley probably are safe. They're about 4 points ahead, or they are 4 points ahead of those other teams, Scott. Is it safe to say that Gary Sheffield United, West Brom, Albion College, and half Fulham are going to be relegated?
Yeah, it would take a miracle for Fulham to get in. They're 9 points behind Newcastle, who's in 17th. There are only four matches left, so those three teams are going to be relegated. Teams moving up, it looks like, will be Norwich City. They're just about to clinch the Championship division, which is the division below the Premier League. It looks like either Watford or Brentford will be the second team. Then you have a playoff either between Brentford, Swansea City, Bournemouth, and Barnsley. A lot of B's in there, Paul, but you're going to see Norwich City back in the Premier League. One of my favorite nicknames, the Canaries. That's a tough team right there. Don't mess with the Canaries.
I like it. Scott Nason, where can our listeners get more great sports content from you and the rest of your crew?
You can go to the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Didn't have a show this week. I am currently out of town. And we'll have our next show next Wednesday night.
I am off next week. You have to deal with Andrew. God have mercy on your soul.
I will do my best, and you have a great vacation, sir.
Thank you, Scott. I'll talk to you soon. You take care of yourself. Thanks. Scott Nason, we love having him on The Drive. So much.
much coverage. Hey, if we were a jersey, we'd be Triple XL.
ESPN Blacksburg, 93.1, 810, 97.1, and online at ESPNBlacksburg.com.